HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman, hosted by Carl Franklin. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 48, recorded Wednesday, January 17, 2007. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Codesmith Tools, makers of Codesmith, an extensible template-based code generator for .NET. Hansel Minutes listeners get $100 off Codesmith Professional with coupon code HM100 online at codesmithtools.com. Support is also provided by .NET Developers Journal, the world's leading .NET developer magazine, online at www.sys-con.com. In this episode, Scott talks with Chris Brooks and Eli Smith about the trend in classic board gaming.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman, and on this episode of Hansel Minutes, we'll be talking about board gaming, classic board gaming for the programmer. There's a lot of HDTV out there, a lot of PlayStation 3s, a lot of 1080p going on, but still more and more programmers are going to classic board gaming. And with me, I've got Chris Brooks, my CTO here at Corellian, who's also involved in a board gaming company and a hardcore board gamer. And then my friend Eli Smith, another hardcore board gamer. Hi, guys.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
So we just came from this Friday. We were sitting in the Corellian break room hanging out. We had about 8-9 guys there. Bunch of people brought board games from home. This is something we do at Corellian.
It's every Friday. Every Friday at lunchtime.
And I understand it's pretty consistent. They said that's unusual. Oftentimes, that's the first thing to drop off is board gaming on company time at the lunch hour. But this has been going on for the better part of a year, hasn't it?
We've been doing this for about a year and a half, and we have about 15 people on our distribution list, and we'll get anywhere from 5 to 8 or 9 on a given day.
Now, we're mostly programmers here. There's some QA. Everyone's technical. Why are people turning to board gaming now? Is this a renaissance? Is this a new 21st century thing, or have people been doing this for a long time?
Well, the renaissance has really been about 6-7 years now. With the advent of Settlers of Catan reaching American shores, really brought a resurgence of board gaming in America. And I think that programmers are attracted to it because it's a way to unplug and get back to dealing with people face-to-face. It has the tactile sensation beyond a keyboard, and I think that's what people like about it.
And is it all fundamentally problem-solving, or programmers doing this because it's a problem-solving thing? Here's the rules that we work within. Here's your goal. You know, work within that structure.
Yeah, I think that has something to do with it.
And is this something that is, you said it reached American shores. So there's a game, you call it Settlers of Catan. Chris, would you agree that that's when things started?
Yeah, I think the modern board gaming trend started about 10 years ago when Settlers of Catan was released originally in Germany. And it started a new genre of games that are sometimes called German games or Euro games. That was translated to English, came to the United States, and started somewhat of a revolution in board gaming within the United States.
Now, I saw that both of you sent me links to a website that had a list of your games, and I see that most real hardcore gamers go to this particular site. They have a list. Eli, you've got 200-plus games. Chris, you've got a whole gaming room.
I've got about 400 games in my collection, but I'm trying to keep that flat. So I'm trying to sell or give away as many as I buy in a given year.
But you have actually remodeled a room of your house explicitly for the purposes of gaming. I've seen the wall of games.
Walls? Yes. Yes. We turned our upstairs kind of bonus room that we have the computers in, and the kids do a lot of computer gaming there as well. We turned that into our gaming room, and it has art decoration that has board game covers, and then lots of shelf space for my board game collection.
And you've got two kids, and Eli, you just had a baby. It seems like programmers are not only wanting to do this, but they want to share it with their kids. And is it the social aspect, the problem solving? How does this affect like your kids, Chris?
I think to Eli's point earlier about being unplugged, I think there's, if you look at the generation of kids today, and even 20-somethings, they've grown up immersed in technology. And I think there's a desire on my part as a parent to want to make sure my kids treasure the face-to-face interaction that comes from social activities, whether it's sports or sitting down and playing a family board game like we play.
Now, Eli, how would you say this is different from the kind of the Parker Brothers stuff? I mean, I'm not a board gamer. I'm thinking about getting involved, but from my point of view, it's like, can I really afford yet another hobby? Am I going to become a collector? Is this going to suck all my money? I could take up hang gliding. I would have to buy all the hang gliding equipment. I assume I have to buy board gaming equipment. I do have Sari and Monopoly, but that doesn't seem to be the same kind of thing. That's not the same board game. How is this different than Parker Brothers?
The difference is basically how much your decisions impact how well you perform in the game. In a lot of Parker Brothers and more traditional American-style board games, your choices are very limited by how well you roll dice or what cards you draw. In the German games, you have a lot more decisions to make, and those directly impact how well you perform in the game, more like chess than, say, Sari.
Another thing I want to add that's all too common in traditional American games, and I would include games like Risk in those, where it's not uncommon to have player elimination, where you might have a game go on for 4 hours, and there's only two players left for the last 2 hours of that game. And I don't think that's great for a family setting. First, it encourages beating up on each other and wanting to be the only guy left. A lot of the German games and even newer American games that we play have mechanics built in that keep everybody in the game till the end, and often disguise to some extent who might be in the lead. So there's a lot of tension as you get to the end of the game of even knowing who's going to win the game.
Now, that's a really interesting point. I didn't even think about that. I mean, using the examples that I just gave of Sari, Monopoly, Risk, those are all games where people get pretty worked up. We played Monopoly a couple of weeks ago, and you know, some of the younger kids got pretty intense as they started to attain wealth. They started to really dog on the other kids. All of those games involve elimination. They drag on, and it does get kind of boring. We just played a game called 10 Days in Africa, and there was a lot of tension. I realized that I was like seconds from winning, and then Chris came from nowhere and won the game. I thought that's a very interesting point. Now, do you feel that this helps you in your programming job, in your technical job? Is it a more of a relaxation, or does it honestly give you new ways to think about and solve problems?
I do know for a fact that people that work in technology, particularly programmers, tend towards these sorts of games. If you look at the communities out there that or on the internet, mailing lists, or even that come to conventions for these sorts of games, there is a pretty significant overlap of technologists and board gamers. So I think there have to be some traits in common. I think your comments before around living within a rule structure, trying to optimize your choices that you make, even the notion of design patterns, which are common in software, find their way into board games in terms of mechanics that show up in games. So I do think there's a lot of overlap, and I think that it's just a tendency based on characteristics of people. Those that tend to be more creative and don't like rules as much, they might tend more towards party games that have a lot, even more social interactions, games like Taboo or Pictionary, where there's much more of a creative element. Those sorts of games actually are not as popular in most cases in this board gaming circle.
Huh. Now, when we were playing 10 Days in Africa, which is, I've got one game that you gave me for Christmas last year that we play 2-on-2. It's a card game. But this was my first time in a large group. We were four people, I think, played this game, a larger group. And I was getting confused with some of the mechanics. And you said, oh, well, this is just a standard card swapping. You had some kind of a long card swapping continuous building game. You know, it's very similar to, and then you rattled off a number of different games. Is that the kind of pattern that you're talking about? I mean, the cards change, the look and feel change. I know that you guys admire the packaging, but there are only so many ways that you could structure a game, right?
Yeah, that we've discovered so far. And Eli might want to comment on this too, but I think that most games you find today assemble mechanics and theme in different ways, but it's fairly rare to see a new mechanic. The one that actually comes to mind that was the most innovative in the last 20 years was actually the Magic the Gathering card game, which I'm sure most people have heard of. That was a craze in the mid-90s, and it continues to be popular today. That's probably, even though it's not a board game, that's probably the most innovative thing that's happened within gaming in the last 15 to 20 years. And people are sitting around waiting for what's the next big thing that's going to hit around mechanics. But yeah, true. Most of the games that I play tend to have very similar mechanics, but they're often assembled in interesting ways.
Two questions then. First is going to be, how do you get started? And we'll talk about that because I want to hear your list. If I was going to go out which I will after this interview, and buy 3, 4, 5 games and try to, you know, how do you incorporate this into your life? Is this just an after dinner activity? Do you guys get together with groups on the weekends? What's a good way to start in doing this, to see, you know, put your foot in the water and see if you like playing board games?
Well, if you have interested friends or family members, of course, those are going to be the easiest to approach. Another good resource if you're looking for meeting more strangers or playing with a different group of people than maybe the people you know they're not interested is, there's lots of local groups on Yahoo. There's a group called PDX Gamers. You can join that group. They have announcements of game events going on around the city.
That would be for Portland. Since we have an international crowd, maybe Craigslist would be a place to look for gamers, do you think? Or,
well, Board Game Geek has a whole section devoted to game groups in local areas. So you can post there, say, hey, I'm looking for a game group. They've got it divided by state. So whatever state you're in, you can go to that site, post on that forum and say, hey, I'm looking for a game group. It just requires a free registration.
Yeah, I'm also going to refer, and these will show up in the show notes, but there are actually a couple of podcasts that I'll refer listeners to that actually have kind of an episode zero of their maybe 100 or more podcasts that focus on what are called gateway games. How do you get into the hobby? What are the best games to get started and say, hey, is this something that really is my thing? Or, and they're games that you're likely going to enjoy, but if you don't like them a lot, then maybe you want to look for a different hobby. I can mention a few of those games that will show up in those podcasts. I think one that's come out recently that's become extremely popular as a gateway game is a game called Ticket to Ride. And this is a game of building train connections in America. Settlers of Catan, which we already mentioned, is another great choice. And Carcassonne, which is a game about building castles and other types of buildings in France, is another very popular one. And there's Board Game Geek that Eli mentioned is a great website to go find other games that others find popular.
Okay, Eli, what are your gateway games?
I'm a little bit more, since we've seen this European resurgence, it's also triggered an American resurgence with publishers like Fantasy Flight and a few others here in the States. And they do a slightly different style of game. And I like a lot of their titles, especially in those Silver Line, which tends more towards those European mechanics. I really recommend Drakon. I think it's a great game, especially for those in the technical field. It's about building loops and structures which are beneficial to you or detrimental to your opponent. I love Robo Rally. I think that's a great game. It's about programming robots with an instruction set and then setting them loose to cause chaos on a factory floor. I really recommend those games. And just because you don't like some of the recommended gateway games, I say don't abandon it right away. You might just not be playing a game that suits your taste or your style. Some people like more confrontation, some people like less. And there's such a wide variety out there. It really takes some finesse to find those games that really match your style and your personality.
Is this going to be an expensive hobby for me?
It's expensive as you want it to be.
Now, Chris, I understand that you actually have, or either have, or you're a partner in a board gaming company?
Yes, I'm one of the founders and owners of a game company called Sun River Games. It's very much a moonlighting venture for me and about 3 of my friends in the greater Portland area. And it's mostly a vehicle for us to publish games that are actually designed by people within the company. So we published our first game, Havoc, The 100 Years War, about a year and a half ago. That was designed by Casey Humphrey. And this year we published a couple of games, one called 24/7, which is a great math game for families and kids. It's very popular right now. That was published in October. And just hot on the shelves is a game called Ink and Gold, which is our first published game by another designer. It's actually designed by Alan Moon and Bruno Fiduti. And Alan happens to be the designer of the Ticket to Ride game that I just mentioned and the 10 Days in Africa game that we played earlier. And that game is it's a great big group game that has – it's a pressure luck. I'm an Indiana Jones-type character going down into some Incan temples trying to get treasure. And it's a great family party game.
Oh, that's cool. That's amazing. It sounds like it's a very tight-knit community. I mean, you're my boss and you're my CTO here at the company, but it seems like quite a coincidence that your games are selling well. You're in this deep into this kind of group. How many people are out there producing games? I mean, you didn't just make up a game and then draw some things on cardboard. I mean, I've seen these games. They're very professional. It sounds like a great deal of thought and work goes into this. Does that take up a lot of time and effort?
it takes a lot of time and effort from the key creative people in the company. I'm not one of those. I'm more just the business guy that keeps the books and makes decisions about maybe what we're going to do and where we're going to focus. Because frankly, I don't have the time. I have a day job that's actually pretty consuming itself. So yeah, I'm blessed to have a group of people that not only design games, but are very skilled in graphical layout. We've done some of our own artwork. We've used other artists as well. For Ink and Gold, we actually used an outside artist that did all of the graphical design and artwork. And it's a lot of work. It's technically a hobby, not a business, because I think you have to make money doing it for it to be called a business. But we're having a lot of fun, and it helps pay for some conventions that we like to go to and meet other people. And it's a great way to get some initial exposure for two people that I think are just great designers within the company that could lead to some bigger publishers picking them up.
And you've played these games, some of the games you've mentioned, Eli, like Havoc?
I played Havoc, and I played Ink and Gold. And they're good. They're good games. I really enjoy Havoc. It's got kind of a poker flavor to it with a little bit of reclamation. I really, really enjoy that game a lot.
So we've talked about gateway games. We've talked about places people can go to learn about gaming groups. I understand, Chris, that when you go traveling, you often will hook up with whatever local group is around town and play games. Might this be something that people who listen to this podcast want to do? Maybe if we're at Tech Ed, find a room somewhere in between sessions and bring a couple of games and put together a group? It's probably already happening.
Yeah, I know for a fact it does happen at a lot of technology conferences. If you look at the message boards as people are preparing to come down, you will often see little groups getting together to maybe play Settlers. If you travel a lot, I think Board Game Geek is a great reference. There's a Yahoo group as well that's a mailing list called Spiel Freaks, Spiel being the German word for games and just play. That's a great place to post. Say, hey, I'm going to be in Birmingham, Alabama next week. Does anyone want to get together and play games? I joke with my wife and tell her that I have an internet date next week in some random city. And she's a little concerned at times that I'm sometimes meeting strangers, but these are generally people that are friends of friends that, you know, can be vouched for, and they probably should feel more nervous taking a stranger into their home than I should feel. But it's been very, fruitful. I've managed to make a lot of friends and meet a lot of interesting people doing that.
Fantastic. Well, I feel like I have enough information now that I'm going to go to the gaming place after work and maybe pick up a couple of these gateway games and see how it works for us. I appreciate both of your guys' time.
No problem.
Thanks, Scott. It's been fun.